I want to speak to you about to positioning yourself for purpose. And before I begin, I want to tell you a story about a wolf in the northern parts of America where it's very cold and the winters are so severe. Let's call this wolf Ash. Ash was his name, and he was a very extremely skilled hunter. He could survive the coldest winters because he knew how to hunt, he knew how to hide, he knew how to keep himself warm. But he was a lone wolf. Something about being part of a group just did not sit well with him. He did not like that life. He liked to do his own thing and to go at his own pace. And after all, he was very skilled. He had everything he needed to survive on his own, or so he thought. But there was one winter where it was extremely, extremely cold. New record lows. And Ash found himself that there's no prey. Wherever he goes, there's no food to eat. So he had to wander off from the area that he knew very well. And one day, as he was searching for food, hungry, demoralized, he saw at this riverbank this big animal to eat. Let's say it was an elk. And this elk was there. And Ash made his way to hunt this elk. And in the wetness of so the cold, Ash slipped and his leg went underneath a tree that had fallen over, and there he was stuck. And where he could only think about food, his only thought was now survival. How am I going to get out? But there's no way, this thing is so heavy on him, there's no way that he can get out on his own. So as it begins to get dark and even more cold, Ash heard in the distance a howl from another wolf who was a leader of a wolf pack nearby. And the sound that used to irk him, the sound that made him want to run away, was now a sound of hope, that Ash now knew that there's some hope, that he could get some help. And with the little energy he had left, he let out a howl that would signal to this leader that he is scared and he needs help. And then this wolf pack comes and they rescue Ash by helping dig his leg from underneath so the tree, and they take him in, and they were able to provide him food and shelter for as long as he needed. And there Ash realized that no matter how skillful of a hunter he is, he needed people around him to survive when things get tough. And there's a saying that I really like, that if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. So what I want to share with you this morning is surrounding yourself with people, with leaders, with mentors that will lift you up, that will support you and give you wisdom and advice so that you can get to where God is leading you, so that you can fulfill the call on your life that God has for you. Let us pray. Father, I pray for this morning's sermon, and I pray that you open our hearts and our minds for what you want to share with us this morning. And I pray, Father, that you will gently speak to each and every one of us, Father. That we will hear your word and be open for your message. That this message, this word, will fall on fruitful soil. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come in water, and that you will speak to us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. I want to take us to Exodus 17 this morning, from verse 8 to 16. And in this section we find that Israel is going into battle against the Amalekites. And if you don't know who the Amalekites is, stay tuned, you will learn more soon. And during this battle, Moses was on a hill, and whenever he had lifted his hands, Israel had the advantage in the battle. But as Moses grew weary and his hands lowered, the Amalekites gained the advantage. So Aaron and Hur, they came and they lifted up Moses' hands. They placed a rock underneath him so he could sit, and they lifted up his hands. And that day Israel had victory. And then Moses went and he erected an altar in honor of God and called that altar Jehovah Nissi, because God is my banner. The Lord is my banner. And when he is lifted, there will be victory. And I find the life of Moses so fascinating because he did not grow up normal. There was nothing normal about his birth, and surely there was nothing normal about his life. Moses was born at a time when Pharaoh gave a command to his soldiers in saying that any boy being born to the Hebrews, he must be thrown into the Nile so that the baby would drown. But for the girls, you could spare their life and they have use for us. And then when Moses was born during this time, and his mother saw that this is a beautiful baby boy, and she kept him for 3 months until she could not have him anymore. So she had to make a plan, because now he's going to grow old. People are going to notice. And Moses' mother made a basket, placed Moses in the basket, went, placed him among the reeds at the riverbank, and Pharaoh's daughter comes in. She finds Moses, and she's like, oh, this is... And eventually she sent Moses to be fed by his mother and raised, and then Pharaoh's daughter took him in to be her son. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up as Pharaoh's grandson, it comes with its advantages, I'm sure. You are growing up as Pharaoh's daughter's son. You get some access. You get maybe access to the best schools, to the best education, to a very high standard of life. Most likely, I can just imagine. I don't think Cyril's grandson is not being spoiled. I think he's very much being spoiled. I'm just saying. I don't know if you have a grandson, but if he has, I'm sure he's being spoiled, because there's some of who his grandfather is. But I like that the critics, when they write about Moses being the author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they say that there's no way that Moses could have written these five books. It must have been written later, because civilization was not very smart at that time. And having this mindset of evolution, they believe that humanity became smarter as age grew older. But I don't know. Moses grew up at a time where your everyday household items had inscriptions on how to use them. I mean, so when you would go to the loo, you'd have some reading material. Even back then, you could read the back of the shampoo bottle a few times. Only me? Okay. Anyway. They did not have cell phones, so what else do? You read what's there. So anyway, that's the time that Moses grew up. So surely Moses would have the intellect to write, because he grew up as Pharaoh's grandson. So I just find it fascinating that archaeology tells us that Egypt at that time was very advanced, and that's the time Moses grew up in. But then as Moses grew older, one day he was outside and he saw an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, and something in him stirred, and he went and he took matters in his own hand and he buried the Egyptian in the sand. And some people saw, and Pharaoh found out about what Moses had done, and now he wanted to kill Moses, and Moses fled to Midian, where he met Jethro, and he married Jethro's daughter. And after some time, one day out herding Jethro's sheep, God speaks to Moses in a burning bush. And God tells Moses, go to Pharaoh and get my people out of Egypt. I will be with you. That does not sound to me like a normal life, especially at the age of, they say, well, Moses was 80 at that time. Like, that's when you retire, but Moses, no, he refired. And then there he was, and he went to Pharaoh and said, well, God has spoken to me, but Moses did not speak to Pharaoh himself. Aaron spoke on Moses' behalf, because Moses stuttered. And he could not speak out of his own, so Aaron spoke what Moses had told him to say, what God told Moses to say, and Pharaoh said no, and Pharaoh brought all his magicians, and Moses triumphs over them. Then God brought the 10 plagues in Egypt, and eventually Pharaoh said, I will let God's people go, but he almost immediately changed his mind, and he went behind them. Now here is all of Israel, all the Hebrews, they are fleeing out of Egypt, and they get to this river, the Red Sea, well, not river, this Red Sea, and they are standing there and notice that Pharaoh and his soldiers are behind them. And Moses lifts up his staff and parts the Red Sea, this incredible miracle that God opens the Red Sea, and the Hebrews could walk through. And as the So Egyptians followed, the sea closed on him, signifying that God is the one that gives the victory. And here Israel, they are in the wilderness, and God cares so much about them that he turns, at one point, he turns bitter water sweet so that his people could have good water to drink. They were led by a cloud by day and fire by night. And God provided food from heaven for them every day except the Sabbath. Then they had to gather more the day before so they could have food for the Sabbath, and it did not perish. And that's when we get to Exodus 17, where in the beginning that the people are now grumbling. God took them out of slavery. God is providing for them. God is leading them in the wilderness, but the people are grumbling that they are thirsty and there's no water where they were at that time. And God told Moses to strike the rock with your staff. And water gushed out. And after that, the very first battle, these group of slaves that is now in the wilderness, being led by God, they were the Amalekites. They came to them and made war. And let's read Exodus 17 from verse 8 to 16. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. While Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and to put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands on one side, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. From verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, but I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. In him is my victory ultimately." Now, Amalekites, they were a group of wandering nomads in the Negev desert at that time. And being wandering nomads, they most likely saw Israel as their vulnerable target, and they went and made war against them. These group of slaves who never fought in their life, they were not trained to fight. And they engaged in battle with these nomadic warriors, and they had victory because God was with them. But something incredible that happened during this battle is when we focus on Moses, when he lifted his hands, they prevailed. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites prevailed until he got help. And he lifted up his hands and Israel had victory. God is the victor. Not Aaron, Hur, and Moses. God is the victor. But there's something about surrounding yourself with people, with leaders, with mentors that will lift you up when you are weary, that will lift you up when the road gets too long, that will encourage you to keep on going when it's maybe going a little bit difficult, that will stand with you in prayer, that will encourage you, that will hold you accountable to the call of God on your life, that will see God's victory in your life come through. Because if you want to go far, go together. Go together. You need to strategically and prayerfully surround yourself with people who can speak into your life, who are available to give you counsel in the things of God. When we reflect on Proverbs, we find so much wisdom, but there's a few verses that I want to draw wisdom from in seeking counsel and not going at it alone, not being a lone wolf, is that the fool is right in his own eyes. If you don't have people around you that speak into your life, or maybe people that will check you in your thinking, you will always think you are right until someone tells you maybe you are not as right as you think you are. And then Proverbs 12 verse 15 continues, but a wise man listens to advice. One of the most heart-wrenching stories, and we hear people say it all the time, if only I had listened, if only I took someone's advice, it could have spared me all this heartache, all this trouble. But one of the most heart-wrenching stories for me is the life of Rehoboam. He was the son of Solomon, and Solomon wrote Proverbs. And if only Rehoboam listened to his father's advice. When Rehoboam came into power, Israel came to him and said, can you lower our taxes? Can you be a little bit more lenient on us than your father? And Rehoboam went to the kingdom advisors who served his father Solomon, and he brought this issue before them, and they said, if you want to win favor with the people, listen to our advice and be more lenient than your father was, and you will gain them as your followers who will stand with you. Rehoboam went to his young friends with the same issue, and they said, oh, make it even harsher on the people. Be even harder than your father. And he listened to the wrong advice. And a few chapters on, you see Israel split into two because he did not listen to wise counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You can be the smartest person in the room. You can be the strongest. You can be the prettiest. You can know the Bible inside out. You can recite verses, and you can be the best there will ever be in anything, but sooner or later, you're going to realize that you need people around you that will support you, that will encourage you, that will pray with you and give you godly counsel when you need it, because we cannot go at it alone. When Ash the wolf was in trouble, he realized that he needed help and that he cannot survive on his own. Even Moses in his life, we read in chapter 18 of Exodus, after the battle was won, Moses was in the judgment seat, and when you're in the judgment seat, all of Israel came to him and brought their issues, brought their concerns, brought their things, and he had to judge the situations. Jethro, his father-in-law, came to see what God was doing with Israel and Moses, and he saw that Moses was the only one judging the whole of Israel. And over a meal, wise, Jethro told Moses that what you're doing, you cannot do it. You will not survive if you continue to doing it this way. Why don't you set aside chiefs of thousands and of hundreds and of fifties and of tens and let them judge all the small things and let them bring the big things to you? And Moses listened and he went and he did as Jethro advised him. And he was able to successfully lead through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, through God speaking through Jethro into his life, giving him advice, he was able to lead Israel with excellence. Because the thing is that you cannot do it all alone. There is no way you can do it all alone. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says that whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Because if you're secluded, if you're not in a place where you have people around you that speak into your life, that pray for you, that hold you accountable to the things of God, who are you going to listen to? And if you know that that is a way that you can surround yourself with counsel so that you can get to where God is leading you, it's interesting why we want to separate ourselves, but I can tell you this. The enemy is very crafty. When there's sheep in the kraal and a lion wants a meal, he stands outside of the kraal and he roars so that he can cause confusion in the sheep kraal. And when there's confusion, no one is listening to sound reason and waiting for that one sheep who thinks it's safer outside than inside, and the lion has a nice Karoo lamb chop for dinner. And that's all the enemy has to do, is he has to get us outside of people around us. If he can isolate you, he can influence you with his lies. But when you are surrounded by people and you are listening to godly advice, not the wrong advice, I'm speaking this morning only about listening to godly advice, you will be kept safe because there's people around you that will have your back when you cannot have your own back. When there are times when you are following God and you are no longer sure you heard God right, but you heard God right, it's just a doubt and everything is coming inside. You need people around you to remind you that, no, this is what God said. You need those people around you. What I find interesting is that Jesus called 12 disciples and they were in community together following Jesus. Jesus did not call John there and walked a separate journey with John, and then he called Matthew here and had a separate journey with Matthew. And then Sir Peter, that's I know, they were all together following Jesus. When Jesus sent out the 72, he sent them out two by two. He did not send them out alone. Because there's something about the character of God that we need to know and realize, that God is a Trinity. It's Jesus, God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one, three in one. Even when Jesus went up to the mountain and when transfiguration happened and Moses and Elijah was there on the mountain with Jesus, Jesus took with him three of his closest disciples. He did not go alone. And in this community, I'm sure when we read the Gospel of John at the end, there was some, you know, John wanted to make sure that he is the favorite. John wanted to make sure that we know that there was a foot race between John and Peter going to the tomb, and one won and the other one didn't win, and John made sure that we know that. Maybe it was some friendly banter, I don't know, that's what we see. But there were some things that they had to deal with within the group. Not in that sense. I'm referring to Paul and Barnabas when they were called. A schism caused them to separate. So within this body, we need to learn to function together, to love one another, to serve one another, to uphold one another, to uplift one another. And if you need a community, if you need people around you to lift you up when you cannot stand on your own, because it's not if it happens, it's when it happens. Just look around you this morning. You will find more than three people. You will find many people. But you will at least have three people who will pray with you, who will speak wisdom into your life, that will guide you and counsel you in what you need when the going gets tough. But I ask myself and I wonder, why do we sometimes struggle to ask for help or accept help or be open for people to speak into our lives godly wisdom? Maybe it's the fear of rejection. Maybe at some point you were vulnerable enough to open yourself up to people to speak into your life and they rejected you. Or maybe they hurt you. Maybe you were in a group before. Maybe you had people around you that were so close, your brothers in arms for Jesus, and something happened and hurt came in. Maybe you were judged when you finally said, told someone that you are battling with something so severe and you were judged. It could be for the lack of trust, that I don't trust people. Trust God, I trust you, but I don't trust people. It even could be that you don't want to burden someone else with your problems because everyone has their own things. It could be pride, or it could be an unhealthy sense of independence. And I think that the gospel comes and gives us the answer to every thing that could withhold us from opening up and saying, okay, God, you use people. But the gospel comes and God is so loving and He is so just that He comes and He lifts us up and He lets you know that He loves you. Reading reading Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12. And when Daniel saw visions that God was showing him, he was so perplexed by what he saw. The first thing that the voice said to him, Daniel, you are loved. Daniel, you are loved. God wants you to know that you are loved. And when people hurt you, He will heal you. He will lift you up. But just because one person on that side failed you and let you down does not mean the other person will. And even if they do, God is the one getting the victory at the end of it all. Maybe you need someone by your side for a short season to help you through something that you're dealing with. But when it's past pain and past hurt, God is the one that heals you. Because we don't look to people, we look to God. And God uses imperfect people for what He has called people to. No one was perfect, only one person, that was God Himself, Jesus in the flesh. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing so that you can position yourself for purpose and have people around you to become who God is calling you to be. The gospel is such a beautiful reality that we are not called as someone in a vacuum, someone away from people. We are called into a community. We call that community the church. And Jesus loves the church. He loves the church so much that He died for the church. He loves the church so much that He gave His life for the church. And He calls us His bride. He calls us His bride. That's just so beautiful. That's just so beautiful. And the enemy wants to discourage you. He wants to keep you busy with things that are not important. And he wants to deter you from being who God is calling you to be. And if he can just get you alone, if he can just get you alone, if he can just cause issues for you to be separated from a group, that's why forgiveness is so important in the kingdom of God. That's why community is so important in the kingdom of God, because we need one another. With our eyes focused on Jesus, we need one another to finish the race. That Moses in the battle against the Amalekites, when he lifted up his hands, Israel prevailed. And maybe your hands are being lowered this morning. Maybe you have it's just difficult to lift your hands up. Maybe you need someone to come alongside you and lift up your hands. This morning you have the church by your side and the Holy Spirit ready to empower you and strengthening you and doing what He needs to do in your life so that you can get on to the next. But you position yourself for purpose. And when Moses' hands grew weary, Aaron and Hur came alongside him. And God gets the victory. It doesn't matter if you need help. It doesn't matter who is helping you. What matters is the victory that belongs to God. That is what matters. What matters is finishing or crossing that finishing line. And whoever helped you along the side, God gets the glory. Maybe sometimes we don't want, yes, God, I need help, but not from that person, without realizing that that person might be who you need in that moment. God might be sending you that person in that moment, in that season. You cannot do it alone. If you want to go far, go together. There's only one man that could take everything on himself. And that was Jesus, the Son of God, who took your sins and my sins on himself. God being born in the flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, and He lived a perfect life. He was crucified and He took our sin, what that we deserve punishment for. He took it on Himself. He took that punishment on Himself. And He died in our place so that we can have life, so that we can be free, and so that we could be more like Jesus. And the best part of it is now we get to spread the good news about Jesus, that there's a world who needs to hear that they are not lost. They are just following the wrong person. They are just following the wrong things. And they need to know that they have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And position yourself for purpose. Get people around you if you don't have people around you. Pray and ask God to send you people if you don't have people. Look around you in the church. You have the whole body of Christ at your disposal. So that people could be around you to lift you up, because God gets the glory and He uses people. People are imperfect, yes. But it's not about them, it's about God. It's about getting to where God is leading you, so that people can know that they have a Savior. They don't have to continue life the way they have. Let us pray. Father, I thank You that You're speaking to someone this morning, reminding us that we cannot go far alone, that we need godly counsel, that we know, Holy Spirit, you are the ultimate. You're the one that gives us strength. And we also know that You use people at times to speak to us, to humble us, to help us to deal with our pride, so that we can finally hear Your saying to us, "You are loved. Go get My people that don't know My name."